Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
Welcome to the
And good evening, live paranormal listeners, and welcome to the Eerie Voice. Another beautiful day out today, Douglas.
Yeah, dude, it's wonderful, man.
Yes, and we are your hosts, Chad and Doug, here of the Eerie Voice, and we're excited for another episode tonight to sit down and talk to one of our closest guests, Mr. Joe Pieri, Paranormal Crossroads Live. Always love talking to Joe.
Yeah, definitely.
Good
Very
guy.
Very informative.
Yeah, has a huge background in the field. He's been in the field for a long, long time and has some amazing theories and thoughts and even has some new pieces of equipment he's been putting together himself.
Yeah. I want to touch base on that. You know, what got him into creating his own devices and how's it going for him with it?
Yeah, his whole concept of those devices are pretty cool. I know we've kind of touched base on a little bit, him and I, in conversation, but I'm excited for him to share that. He's had trouble keeping up on, you know, try and get him out there, everyone, because I guess it's been a pretty popular device.
It looks awesome, dude. I mean, it really does. I like the look.
I do like a pick on, though, because it looks like a purse.
Kind of. Yeah. Paranormal purse.
But I'm excited to talk to him, about an upcoming investigation he'll be joining us on at the Hinsdale House in Hinsdale, New York. He has a lot of time spent there, has a lot of experience there. And obviously we had Dan, who owns Hinsdale House, on probably about a month and a half or so ago.
Yeah.
Kind of dove into it, and it'll be good to talk to Joe, because Joe will be joining us again for our investigation. Last time he joined us was in Buffalo.
For the
Naval Park.
Yeah, and that was a fun time.
It was, and it's good to have somebody with all that experience, especially in a location that he's very familiar with.
Yes.
So I'm excited to talk to him and keep tabs on him and what's going on with his team, Paranormal Crossroads Live, and his production team as well. I think it's called Crossroads Productions.
Yes.
And touch base on that, see what's new, and see if he has upcoming investigations that he's planning on streaming live. That kind of thing he loves enjoys streaming his investigations live. He does a lot of them.
Well, it gives people a little insight into what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's one thing to hear us talk about it. It's another to see us at a location.
Exactly. It's different than what people see on television.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, television, it's made up for television.
Yeah, they combine hours upon hours and hours and hours and hours into a 30-minute to hour show.
Well, yeah.
There's so much left out that all you get is what they capture or experiences they had. They don't show all the downtime and all the work that goes into an investigation.
And honestly, there's a lot of downtime and a lot of work that goes into it. I mean, just the setup and teardown alone, you know, can be tedious. But
before and after.
Yeah.
In the review. But it'll be good to talk to him and touch base with him again and talk about the Hinsdale House and some of his experiences there. I'm excited to go there. Not far away for us. And
a couple-hour drive.
Yeah, 2 hours. That's not too bad.
Yeah.
And then we have lots of things coming up for us as well coming this year. I do know one thing. We'll be attending an event put on by Tri-C Ghost Hunters, which is going to take place at, I think, this St. Joseph Hospital, the old St. Joseph Hospital, which is on the other side of Cleveland. They're putting on a charitable event to help raise funds, and we're going to be one of the I guess vendor, whatever. And, you know, it's going to be a good time, great money raised for a good cause. But that's going to happen at the Old St. Joseph Hospital. It's called the Old St. Joseph Hospital Psychic and Paranormal Fair. And those funds go back to the local community and helping keep different programs alive around that particular community.
Yeah, so if you're in the area, stop on down. It'll be a good time.
Yeah, exactly. And it's going to be a fun time. They're going to have a public ghost hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty of vendors.
Yeah.
They have a lot of tables going on right now over there. But, you know, that's over in Lorain, Ohio. That is taking place at May 20th and 21st from 10 a.m. until 5 p.m. both days. And I believe the investigation takes place on the 20th. Don't hold me to that, but I'm pretty sure that's the date they're doing it. Saturday, May 20th from 10 till 6, and Sunday, May 21st from 11 to 5. So I'm going to guess the investigation will take place on Saturday because most times it won't be doing that on Sunday.
Yeah.
But it will be Saturday night from 8 p.m. until 2 a.m., and registration starts at 7 p.m., the cost is $50 per person, and they limit the amount of people to 60 people, but it is a very large location. And again, all proceeds do go to the charitable causes in that general area. Whether that be cash donations, food donations, and so forth. So it's going to be a great time if you have your opportunity, you're in that general area, or if you want to take a little road trip, that's going to be a great idea to pop into and check out. And say hi to us.
You can go down through Cleveland. You can stop in at Sweetie's, get a bunch of candy. After that, come visit us. Yeah.
Yeah. Some of the charities are going to be putting those funds too, and whether it be food or cash, will be the Friendship APL, Blessing House, Genesee's House, Salvation Army, and Second Harvest Food Bank. So a lot of great causes over in that Cleveland area in Lorain. So definitely take the opportunity. If you can't make it, you know, make a donation. That'd be very helpful for those local chapters of those charitables, such as like the Salvation Army and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm excited to go help them out and do that because they've been gracious with us. And those are our buddies from Tri-Sea Ghost Hunters, Todd and Greg. And hopefully we'll be doing some more stuff with them here shortly as well because we might have some things in the works with them for the summertime. I can't really disclose what yet, but it is something that we plan on working together on a few things.
Yeah.
So that'd be fun, and I'm excited to get back. You know, all this warm weather is getting me kind of motivated to go check out some more locations.
Oh,
it's hard to investigate in the winter because of travel.
Well, travel, and then most resident or most places don't have heat, and if they do have heat, that interferes with the
some of the equipment.
With the equipment, yeah.
So it can vary. I mean, unless it's a private residence, those are different. We'll go take care of them and stuff in the wintertime. But some of the ones we're going to go check out, like these more older facilities or whatnot, a lot of them are so old and huge that it's hard to heat the place, or they don't have heat.
Yeah.
So it'll be great to get out there. Now we have this warm weather starting to hit, that I'm kind of getting the itch to get back out there because there's a lot of places we're going to go visit and check out, and it's going to be a busy upcoming year.
And, yeah, again, it's only February.
I know, it's only February.
We're going to have 70-degree weather tomorrow, and it is February. So,
well,
that's awesome.
Some of our listeners are probably used to it because we do get a lot of listeners from the South, so they're used to the warm weather. But we're not.
Yeah, right. Hey, and by the way, I want to say a special happy birthday and shout-out to Don Trainer out in Buffalo.
Well, Buffalo area. He's in the Dunkirk area.
But happy birthday, Don. Hope you had a blast today.
There are your old buddy, Don Trainer.
Yeah.
Good guy.
He is a good guy, man.
But he lives near the Dunkirk area. I won't put where he lives, but not in. Just live in Dunkirk, but in that general facility.
Hey, $5. I'll say where he lives.
Happy birthday to our buddy Dylan, and keep up with him as well. If you can find him on Facebook, and you can also find him on Village Haunts He does a lot of great work with some of these locations. They have a lot of history and helps put on different events to raise funds for those locations to keep those locations up and going.
Well, yeah, that's good.
Restoration and so forth. So that's another great I don't want to call it company, but paranormal group.
Yeah, definitely.
That is in a different aspect of the paranormal. They're out there to help restore some of these locations, keep its history.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of his background. No?
And you actually need more of that, because there's a lot of history lost over time.
We're getting lucky, because we're getting to know some people who actually are trying to save these facilities and locations, like our buddy Adam Kimmel.
Yeah.
Adam's doing something secret right now. I don't know if you've noticed, seen that, heard that.
Yeah, something down south, though, man.
I think the West Virginia area.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's working on it, so I'm excited to hear, once he's able to say what's going on, what he's working on.
Yeah.
But hopefully we'll be meeting up with Adam at some point here in the next 2 months, hopefully, to take him on an investigation at a location that we've been talking to him about for months.
Yeah.
So, it'd be a good time to, show him some stuff that we have seen.
Definitely.
And I know he does have their first episode. It was postponed because of his trip, but his first episode will be airing of Resident Undead on, I believe, Thursday or Friday of the week. Make sure and check out on Facebook, and you can check him out and see when that's happening. But I believe it is on Thursday or Friday this week, the first episode of this year's Resident Undead. And I think it's taking place, this first episode, don't hold me to it, but I think it's going to be taking place at the Dunkirk Lighthouse.
Yeah, I believe that's what, unless he changes his mind, that's what it was.
I'm very intrigued to see what he captured.
Yeah, definitely.
But,
$5, I'll let you guys know now.
we're going to do is we're going to take a short break, and when we return in about 45 seconds, we'll be joined by our special guest for evening, Mr. Joe Pieri of Paranormal Crossroads Live and Crossroads Productions.
Yes.
So stay tuned and we'll see you shortly.
Yeah, don't go anywhere, y'all.
Thank you for joining us for Live Paranormal Radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
Alright, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. And again, you are listening to the Eerie Voice here on Live Paranormal, the top social community of the paranormal world. And we are very humbled to be joined by one of our favorite guests, Mr. Joe Pieri, and we'll bring him on right now. Joe, how's it going today, buddy?
It's going well. How is everyone up there in Pennsylvania doing?
Enjoying the weather, man.
So you're a pretty busy guy recently, doing a lot of work that I haven't seen you do before, and that's you're building a lot more equipment.
Yeah, it started as a hobby, and now I'm infatuated with it because of the results that I've been getting by using these. A simple device. It's called the SBE, the Spirit Box Enhancer. It's, I'll tell you, it's a tool to use. It still floors me to this day. Every time I turn it on, I'll ask the questions, and it will respond. It'll answer your questions. It'll repeat words that you ask it to repeat. That's as much as I can say about it. It's just... It's amazing, so I've decided to start building a few of them to offer to all the paranormal friends out there. And that's what I've been doing lately. This and building up the live broadcast again, because I had to revamp the whole thing. We're trying to go live on Facebook as well as the Ustream, so we can have a simulcast going on with between both, and that's been gobbling up some time. It's been a lot of fun, though. This is a field that I do enjoy doing things and being around people who have the same mindset, I guess.
Now, with your device you've been working on, what's kind of the concept of it? What's the basic idea of that device, the SB?
It's based after the portal that Steve Huff has been putting together, but I wanted to amp it up a little bit more. I wanted to take it to a different level, and I've been adding my own personal touches to it. And every time I tweak it a little bit more, the better it gets. Basically, you can run any type of spirit box you want. It could be radio, apps, and you basically pump it through this device, which is going to decimate your radio state, especially when you're using the radio. It'll decimate all your radio out, and the majority of the words that you hear are spirit-based. And the reason why I say that is that it will repeat words that you ask it to repeat. And my favorite word to use on these boxes is to have them repeat the word pickle. And
pickle?
It seems that not only the word pickle, it's just an unusual word. You're not really going to hear this word on the radio. It's two syllables, and it's very pronounced when you hear it on the SBE. And it seems that it's taken off through all the customers who have bought this device from me. I guess their SBEs have been repeating the word pickle. And I'm noticing when I test the device to make sure it works before I send it on its way, I think that the spirits that are associated with this box, with me, seem to come through and repeat the word pickle, because I'm not the only one getting it now. It seems that the majority of the people are getting pickle, pickle, pickle. You can hear it throughout the session. But it's kind of nice, because then you can actually carry on your conversation. You can ask your questions, and you can associate the voice with your questions. As, for instance, I had a female come through the other night that I was talking to for about 4 minutes. That seems to be the duration that you can keep a spirit on this, is about 4 minutes. And I asked her to repeat the word pickle. She did. And I was asking her some personal questions, and she was answering them. And it's mind-blowing. I actually recorded the session, and I'm hoping to get it up on our Facebook evidence page just so people can hear this. She's answering the questions. I've asked some personal questions about her, and it's mind-blowing. It's starting to put me to I want to push my religion a little bit, but it's making me think twice, to where I've asked this person, you know, is there a heaven, is there a hell? And she said, no. And I said, are you sure about this? Yeah. And I got a direct no on that. Now, when I ask other spirits in different locations, I'll ask the same question, is there a God, is there a heaven? And most of the times I do get yes. But this one came through real clear, and she was very confident about her answer. And I asked her, then what is it? And she just replied, cold and darkness. And I was floored. I was floored. So, I obviously, when I shut these things off, I always ask them, please, you know, I would like to talk to you once again at a future date, if that's possible. And I haven't had the luck of getting her back yet, but I'm hoping to continue the conversation with whatever spirit this is. It floors you when you hear these responses coming across that are just clear as day, too. It's not, oh, I think it said. Nope, clear as day.
Yeah, and what I really enjoyed just from our conversations about it were your three goals that you had when it came to building this device, and that was the making sure something's portable, usable, and affordable, And I think that's what most parallel teams who are, you know, don't have the, I'll call it sponsors, where they get all these pieces of equipment available to them readily. That's a big thing, is just the cost of some equipment, and don't have the people don't have the time to build their own. And I love to have you hearing you hear those three goals, and it sounds like you met the goals you wanted.
It is. And I mean, when I stuck to those goals, being portable, I want a device that someone can lift up and go, not sit 10 minutes and set something up. I want it to be portable. The second thing is usable. I want the people to be able to use it. I don't want this piece of equipment to sit on a shelf somewhere. I don't understand how it works. It's too confusing to me. I don't want to use it. The third was affordability. If it's not affordable, who's going to use it? And I've taken a little bit of heat for it. My units are basically at cost. I charge an extra $10 just to put it all together. And it takes about an hour to piece this thing together. And that's all I ask for, is just the $10 for the hours of time, the hour of my time. And I'm trying to keep it well underneath the $300 mark. And that's my key. I've actually come up with a new version, too. It's brand new. I just built it the other night. It's a little bit smaller, where the speaker is actually $60 cheaper. So I can actually lower the cost of this device by $60. And I think people are going to enjoy this because, again, when we do the paranormal, nobody makes any money on this. So when you get these people who want to buy this equipment, they're taking their hard-earned money. Instead of buying, you know, something else that they really need, they're going to turn it towards this. And I want to make sure that everyone gets a fair shot at it. And I think that basically falls underneath affordability for me. And then also, I would say simplicity is the number one thing, to making sure that the people understand how to use it. It's really simple when you look at it. If you're not going to stare at it and say, oh, I can never use this, I'll never remember it. There's a couple of our customers who have bought it so far, they're using it in the field. And the responses they're getting is just unbelievable. They keep telling me, oh, it's so easy to use, and we love that. Where we just turn it on and we go to work. There's no, you know, 20-minute setup time or this and that, fine-tuning this. Once you get it on, it's running, and ask your questions. And what makes this unit a little bit different than the others is the ability to fine-tune in and out of radio stations, because you can be working in the inner city and you'll have a strong radio signal where you can decimate that, basically get rid of all that radio chatter out of there and just wait for the spirits to come through. And if you're in the rural area, you can basically do just the opposite, reverse the decimation to where you can still scan the hertz and still get the spirits to come through, which is kind of impressive. This is prototype number 10. I've gone through 10 prototypes to get to this model here. And you should see the Paralab. It's just filled with everything you could imagine, all these parts and gadgets just to come up with the one device. And I think we did it. I really do. I'm very happy with it. The people are happy with it. And that's my main goal. I'm not looking to make a dollar on this. I want to make sure everyone can enjoy it, because that's what this paranormal field is all about, is sharing the knowledge, getting the word out, and let's work together to push this field above and beyond, so no one can say, oh, no, it's just a farce. And that's my goal. I don't know if it'll ever happen, but that's my goal.
Well, I guess my big question is, will this device be with you when you join us in Hinsdale? And also,
I will bring all four.
I know you've done a lot of testing lately, and it's been a few times at Hinsdale. Have you been testing this particular device at Hinsdale as well?
Yes, we have. That's where I take these devices to test them. And we have a new team member. Her name is Denise on the team, and she records. She's basically the one who records all the sessions and reviews it. And it's just been unbelievable, the response that we've been getting from Hinsdale. Excuse me. It's And the number one thing I always tell people is to make sure you record your sessions, because what you're hearing coming out of the box is good, but there's something underneath it that your naked ear cannot hear. And for some reason, the voice recorder picks it up, and you can hear a full conversation going on. And it's usually the underlayment voices, the ones I enjoy the most. They're the ones that seem to have the long conversations. They're intrigued of what you have here. They're always asking, what is this? Why do you have this? What will it do for me? It's just, it's unbelievable. Excuse me.
I'm definitely excited to check your equipment out and see, because I'm always intrigued by new devices out there. And I'm very excited to have you join us at the Hinsdale House, because this will be our first time there.
Yes.
And all the stories, and I'm glad to have somebody with a lot of experience there like yourself join us. So it'd be nice to have somebody who has that background of knowledge of how to really get the place to kind of become, I mean, you can't really make things active, but you kind of already have an idea of, you know, the different things that are occurring in there. And hopefully if all things work out, it depends on availability. Our buddy Tim Shaw may be joining us as well, which would be great, but he's a pretty busy guy right now in retirement.
Yeah, retirement.
But, you know, he told me he's in the midst of doing some things. He's hopefully opening a schedule where he can come join us, but still kind of up in the air. But we're excited to have you come join us. I'm very excited to check out the location and see what, you know, happens that evening.
Yeah.
It's a great location. I call it the true American haunt. It has all the fixings. And when it chooses to go, it goes. It's not the little bit here and there. When it goes, it goes. I mean, I just spent, it was about 3 weeks ago, we were there on a Thursday, I think it was a Tuesday, excuse me. It was a Tuesday, and we were doing a midday, just testing some stuff. And there's an entity there that was, his name is Wilhelm. And he's not supposed to be a very nice, and we were sort of asking questions, some tough questions about it. And on the voice recorder, he comes back and says, "Just die, then come to me."
Damn.
Yeah. We played it back. I was floored.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I guess we could take this in many different ways. But I sort of ended the EVP session right there. I didn't want to push it at that point after hearing something like that.
Sure. And you've had a lot of interesting experiences. I know you told me a few stories of some things that have happened there to you. And it's interesting, because talking to a few other people who have been there and hearing some of their stories, it's eerily similar, some of the things that you guys unknowingly have experienced that each other's they're both, all the stories I've heard are eerily similar to each other.
Yes, yeah.
So I'm very curious to see that.
Yeah, that's why I call it the true American haunt. It's not just one person sees it. There's multiple people who see this. I mean, anything from light anomalies outside the window of the house itself. And when I say that, sometimes it's on the second floor, where it looks like a ball of energy just went by the window. And again, you do get contamination from lights that are probably over a quarter to a half a mile away, but they're so faint and small that there's no way, unless for some reason they're shooting a very high beam at the house, which is very rare. It's just, it's mind-blowing when you see it, because you can't explain it. And sometimes it'll put you on a wild goose chase. It'll draw you outside the house, and when you're outside, it'll create an anomaly inside the house and try to pull you back in. It'll bring you out and pull you back in. It's an incredible, incredible location. I mean, there's been times, though, I've been there where nothing's happened. It's been quiet. Everything is feels like an average home, and nothing happens. And there's times we go there, and I call it, it lights up like the 4th of July, where we actually had the house move. And when it did, I mean, it's hard. I mean, I could tell these stories all night long. It's hard to believe until you experience it. If there's anyone looking for a location to go, I highly recommend the Hinsdale House. It's, I mean, Dan has been a great guy. He's basically saved the house from being demolished. He's turned it into a research facility, and you get to spend the night there. There's three bedrooms. I mean, they're upstairs. I wouldn't dare sleep up there, but some people do. Then they have the living room. You can sleep there. But that's when most of the stuff happens, is when you're in that downtime and you're resting and relaxing, and all of a sudden, boom, it's there. And it's what makes it great. And that's how it works. It's, you could be talking about pizza, and all of a sudden, out of the kitchen, the black mass will walk right by. And you just stand there, and you're just like, are you kidding me? And it's just, wow. And all of a sudden, you get these voices. The K2s will start flying off the hook. All the lights will start flashing on them. You'll pick up an EVP, and then it goes quiet. And you're like, where'd you go? I mean, we actually have a police officer on the team who believes in, you know, being skeptic. And he got to see his first true shadow there. And I'll tell you, he talks about it all the time. He's like, I still can't believe what I saw. And I'm like, that's what happens. It leaves you mind blown. You're constantly thinking about it. Like, that's impossible. That couldn't have happened. How does a house move? And you ask the entity, was that you? And you get a reply, yes. And you ask it to do it again, and it did it again. And it's mind-blowing. I'm excited you're going to be there. I really am. This is something that I think you're going to have a lot of fun with.
Yeah. I mean, the last time we did an investigation, we had a blast, and that was at the Naval Park, and that was a great time. We had some fun things happen when we were there.
That was a good time.
And that was
an
interesting place.
That was a fun time.
But speaking of your team, and I know you guys are big about the broadcasting your investigations. You got a lot of things booked up for this upcoming year?
We have a few so far. I've been sort of kicking back just a little bit because now everyone goes live, and it's I want to sort of see what people are doing out there. I want other people to experience and do the lives. That means we're not going to be doing it anymore. It's just that I think I'm going to drop back to maybe one a month or maybe one every other month. We do have a couple. Matter of fact, on April, we're going to be back at the Hinsdale House. So I think that's going to be our first live broadcast. We'll be back at the Hinsdale House where, I mean, some nights I can pull a signal in to broadcast with ease, and some nights it'll fry my equipment. Where I actually cooked about $800 worth of equipment within one night. That makes zero sense to me. And all my boosters were cooked. I lost a camera. I lost an iPad. It was just all these things started cooking for no reason. And I'll never forget that. And we were just looking around saying, okay, you know what? Let's get all the expensive gear out of this house because I don't know what's going on. And one of the EVPs we got behind that was a guy laughing, just laughing at us.
Well, I'm glad I thought the idea of going basic.
Yeah, right?
I was telling Joe in our conversation, I'm like, I don't know. Oh, I feel like I want to kind of go more old school going up to Hinsdale. And now I think I really want to. My pocketbook can handle
it. Yeah, I agree. Just bring a couple of cameras with you because if you do see an anomaly, you want to capture this thing. Especially if you're going to sleep there, I would say run the camera, shoot it at yourself sleeping because there's a paranormal group called Warriors of the Paranormal. They got incredible video out of there of this entity peeking up behind her and reaching over her.
Oh,
it
yeah.
It is an incredible piece of evidence. And she said she just put the camera down opposite and let it go, and she went to sleep, and this thing was doing the dance around her.
Oh, wow.
I remember you showing me the footage whenever you were at the SuperCon with us, and that was just, it was eerie because it looked like it reminded me of like a big, it's like the groundhog from Caddyshack, but bigger.
Oh, jeez.
That's what I thought it looked like.
It did.
Like, it literally, you could have had that song, like, I'm all right. It would have been it dancing around the lady.
It kept lifting itself up, going down, coming up, going down, and then it just vanished. Then there was another one where it was reaching over her. It looked like it was touching her face.
Mm-hmm.
And then pulled back. And then there was a black shadow that was behind her that all of a sudden darted to the right. And, I mean, that's what that house has to offer. I mean, back in 2010, when I was first there, the house was a mustard color and a brown trim, and it was overgrown. The trees and the shrubs, you could barely see the house. And the first thing I did when I was reaching is to get my camera gear, because we were going to shoot a documentary on it. And I reached in to get the camera, and I heard a voice behind me say, "Look at me." And it was clear.
Oh, wow.
And I knew there was no one behind me, and I refused to look, and I said, "I'm not here to do that. I'm just here to film." And it said, "Look at me." I did not turn around. I did not turn around. I didn't want to associate. I didn't want to recognize it because I didn't know what I was up against, and I heard all these nightmare stories about the home, and we were there just to film a part of a documentary, and I just said, "We're going to film it. We're going to get out of here."
I think that's one of the things that, you know, a lot of people are apprehensive about the location because of the stories and the different historical aspects of the house being, you know, exercised multiple times. I think it makes some people nervous.
There's a lot of history to the house.
Yeah, but I don't think there's anything that's, you know, how many teams have been there now since Dan's taken over, and have anything really happened to them personally? Yes, probably. But have they actually been injured?
Yeah.
Not that I've heard. But I do know that people have had some interesting experiences leaving the home on their way home. I think, Joe, you can attest to that.
Yeah. Oy, oy, oy. That's what scares me the most, taking something home with me. And I have my own little ritual now that's pretty good. It's working for me. It's solid. And, I mean, here's another quick story. We had one of our team members, he was leaving from an event, leaving the Hinsdale house, and he got down towards the bottom of the hill, and it's part of McMahon Road. It's about a quarter of a mile away from the house, and he couldn't understand why his radio was not turning up, and everything looked dim. He couldn't figure out what was going on, and all of a sudden, a large flash came out of his back seat, and the radio turned up. And everything was okay. It's like the spirit was in the back seat and just rode with him down the hill. I mean, you're talking quite a few acres of land there that these spirits wander on. And it's not just the house. It's the land. It's the pond next to the house itself. There's a hill that leads up behind the house that you can actually hear chanting, native chanting. And it's mind-blowing because there is native burial grounds up top. Now, we can't get to that because at the top of the hill is another piece of property, someone else's. And according to that lady, she's cut a deal with the spirits to leave her alone if she leaves it alone, meaning those mounds. And she wants nothing to do with it because I had a chance to talk with her back in 2011, and she stressed to me that she would not get involved with anything because she's made a deal with it. You leave me alone, I leave you alone.
Wow.
Yeah, jeez. You're in for a fun
well,
night.
It'll be,
you're in for a fun night.
I think I can see Doug's hair and his arms standing up right now.
I know, right? Because you never know. And with this place, we actually have an idea of what could happen or previous experiences, so it makes it interesting.
Yeah, but I'm excited to have our buddy with us. But last time I saw you was at the Supercon. We kind of BS'd a little while there. And you had the opportunity to go investigate one of our favorite locations that doesn't really get investigated that often. We've been there a few times, more than any other people who have been there. But I know with Rob, he actually was able to, take a couple of people there for an investigation that night for the Supercon at the Barnabas House. You got to walk around and check out the place. How did you enjoy your time there? I never got to talk to you about that since you were there.
Oh, it was beautiful. What a location. It is gorgeous. I love the chapel. I spent a lot of time in that chapel, and it is just gorgeous. We actually did the live from there, and we actually broadcast it back to the Supercon inside the bar area of the hotel where patrons were able to watch it. And we actually experienced some pretty good footsteps running up behind us up on the second floor. We were alone. We were waiting for the people to get there. We were just starting the live, and we were walking. All of a sudden, you just heard, it sounded like a sprint down the hall towards us. And I was with one of our team members, and she just said, what's running at us? I can't see it. And I said, I have no idea. But it got closer and closer and closer, and it just stopped. It stopped within feet from us. And we tried to get an EVP session, but we were so frazzled, I couldn't get the voice recorder out in time because I was shocked at the footsteps that ran up to us. Like almost you're waiting just to see either a child or a small adult stand there and just say, gotcha. But there was absolutely nothing. And that was that was pretty good.
It's an amazing place. And, I mean, I know just from our investigations there, we've had a lot of things happen when we were there, but there's one thing that just stands out in my mind because we only had a handful of members with us, and we decided that it was later tonight, we're just going to sit down. It was just us in the building. We actually had no women investigators with us that night. We decided we're going to sit down. There were six of us total, right in the chapel, and just listen. And all of a sudden, no one said anything, but we started hearing a woman hum and sing, and no one was saying anything. And then finally, I don't know who was, said something, and like, did you hear that? And everyone's like, yeah, a woman singing. Like, you could hear a woman singing like she was, like, clean or something, and you would hear a door downstairs close, and then singing, and then you would start hearing doors upstairs close and open, and the singing continued. And it was just the most crazy experience just sitting there listening to this woman sing and doors opening and closing when it was just us men in the building. It was unbelievable.
Holy cow. Don't you love when that happens, when you don't have to do anything and it comes to you and performs? It just makes our job easier. Wow.
Did they tell you about any of the history of the chapel? About the
Yes. The engraving of someone on the floor that took out a grave out of the wall and the floor. And incredible. That's incredible.
Yeah, you pull back the carpet and you can see the wood of the hole where they pulled them out. Right in the middle of the walkway there. But yeah. I just find that place interesting because it's almost like it has activity there, whether it seems like we've caught residual, but also some intelligence there as well. And I really, really believe it feeds off that lake because it's so close to the water.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's just my thought because it's just right. It's literally right on the water. Anytime we're there, there's certain areas of the building that we just get activity in the most randomest times. We'll have strange readings and things happen, and we'll go back to that same area again 20 minutes later to a half hour later, and the readings are normal again. And I just feel like it's a very interesting place, and I believe it feeds off the lake because it's so close to the lake there.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. I know exactly what you're talking about, the water, because I actually drove behind the building. When we first got there, we didn't know where to go, and we took that driveway that leads around the back.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And the water's right there. It drops down right to the water, and I'm thinking to myself, that's close. That's real close. And you could be right. That could fuel this energy. I mean, there's been theories out there saying how water generates the paranormal. It creates anomalies. It creates all different types of visuals and audio. And I believe in that just because of the fact that we actually recorded better stuff when we're close to bodies of water, especially like fast-moving water. I agree with you there, and I'm hoping to get back into that location sometime soon. Matter of fact, I was actually going to contact someone about that to see if we can get in there and actually do another live broadcast out of there, because it's such a beautiful location, and it just floors me, the chapel. You would never, ever imagine that that chapel would be in the middle of that building from looking at it from the outside.
I know. Well, you let me know. I have the straight connection to the person, so just let me know.
Yeah, we can always go up and check it out.
Yeah, we're planning on going up there a couple more times this summer because it's just, I love the location. We're so lucky to, it almost kind of fall upon us.
Mm-hmm. And then the activity, we always have activity there.
Yeah, it's always, and I just love even the architecture of the building. Like on the back side of the building, if you look at some of the doors they have there, it literally looks like doors from a castle.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Like, I don't know. I like architecture or some things. Like, this, that chapel is just gorgeous. But yeah, like you said, they have that chapel in the middle of that building like that. It's like, it doesn't, it's almost like it doesn't fit. But then again, it kind of does.
Yeah. Yeah, they make
yeah.
it work.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How it's set up.
But
it's interesting,
I think
too, it's a shock at all. First. Oh,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, I say what I find interesting too is I feel like that place has so much fuel to the fire because they had the lake right there, and every single room has all these personal items. Just every room has some kind of personal item spread throughout it from the people who have been there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you think about the residual energy that certain items leave behind, it makes you wonder. It makes you wonder. I mean, the footsteps that we heard. Maybe that's just a residual. Maybe there was kids up on that second floor that used to run up and down the halls, and that's what we heard. But it was just ironic how it stopped within feet of us.
Yeah, I feel like the things there that are intelligent are just, they kind of hang back and watch what you're doing, because, like I said, the place has not really been investigated. When we got to go there, we did a pre-investigation because we were going to hold a charity event there that we did hold. We got to do a little investigation there beforehand, had some great things happen. Then we did the charity event, had a great time. We had a good amount of people, and they were experiencing stuff, which doesn't happen too often. You get a lot of people around. Things don't really happen because, you know, you don't want them to feel like they're
at a circus.
They're a circus act. But literally, they were like, say 20 or 30 people upstairs, and they could hear things happening. They were getting EVPs like you couldn't believe, and it was amazing to have that many people and experience that. And we've been back there a few times, but the place has only been investigated, I bet you, a half dozen times probably. And probably three-fourths of those times have been by us.
Wow. And that's considered a very fresh location.
Yeah, and hopefully it can stay around because I know it's a tough location to keep up and going. I do that much.
Yeah. But it was a beautiful. Really is beautiful. And that's definitely would love to get in there. Definitely would love to get in there again.
Now, another thing I wanted to touch base on is how's your, I know you do have the Crossroads production as well. How is that going for you? Mm-hmm.
It's going good. I sort of put it on the back burner for the last few months just because I just got caught up in building these new pieces of gear here. But it's looking to fire up once the weather breaks again. I'm going to continue to do some more filming. I had a project that I started, but I never finished it due to the fact that I was very particular with it. If I didn't like it, I got rid of it. I need to fill in more. I want this to be something really good. It's called Crossing the Line. Basically, it's a self-doc on paranormal investigating. How far do we go? We push the line too far. Is there no return? I mean, we're just interviewing different people in the paranormal field, talking to religious figures, where they'll tell you a different story than what we want to hear. And it's pretty good. It's basically, it all starts off at the Hinsdale House, of course. What other location would I choose? And then it goes back in time, like 24 hours prior, and it just takes you through the day of what we do, how we prepare, and then there's, you know, you're constantly contemplating things, and then I have input of some other paranormal investigators, some experts in the field, where they'll tell you a little bit about maybe the religious aspect of it, the spiritualist aspect of it. I mean, there's just so much. And I've cut it up about four times, this film. I just want it to be right. I want this to be the backbone of Paranormal or Crossroads Productions. I put out a lot of small ones, a lot of, you know, short takes, and a lot of fun stuff. Hopefully, I'm looking more towards the summertime to open up the YouTube channel on it, get that going. I want to hit public access out here. They're interested in what I'm doing. They want some more film. And hopefully it'll just take off. Take off meaning let the people go out and enjoy it. I'm not looking to make any money on it. It's just more of a hobby. But it is fun. I love it. There's nothing better to me as waking up on a Saturday morning, getting the backpack full of camera gear and rolling, and just go out and shoot some film and see what you can make within 24 hours and try to put it out there and see how it does. But it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
It's funny because anytime that I've ever spoke about you, they're always like, oh, what do you think of Joe? And the one thing I always say, I've never met a guy so enthusiastic about the paranormal field. And I mean that in the most good way possible. You're excited and ready to do whatever just to go out there and experience something. And I love that. And that's why I love, you know, having you around my team, because you bring a lot to the table for, you know, not just your team, but the people who, we'll just say, look up to you. And we look up to you, and we appreciate you always taking time to talk to us.
I appreciate that. That means a lot to me. It's just, I mean, think about it. We get to do something that a lot of people can't. And I always tell people, treasure the times. Because when we're old and gray, we're going to look back at these times and say, those are some good, good times. And why bicker about it? Let's make it a positive. Let's pull everyone together and make this a great experience. And that's what it should be, because when it becomes great like that, you get better results. You get a better positive attitude towards the field of paranormal. And that's what I'm hoping it goes. I mean, I might not see it in my lifetime, but I'm hoping the next generation will pick up on it and say, hey, maybe we're doing it wrong. We should approach it this way. Share the data. Share the equipment. Share the knowledge, and let's see what happens. Who knows? Maybe 25, 30 years from now, it'll be a science. You never know.
Mm. Hopefully so. But looks like we're coming close to the end of the show here. I just wanted to, again, take the opportunity to thank you for coming on. We're very excited to see you here in a couple weeks here up at the Hinsdale House, and definitely be talking to you before that, obviously. And I'm excited to see what we can capture, and I'm excited to see your new equipment and keeping track on what's going on with your team. And I look forward to see some of your cut-ups on the production team as well. Just thanks to you for taking the time for coming on, and probably people can go find you on Facebook. Can you plug your website for people who are wondering about your team's website?
Sure. It's ParanormalCrossroadsLive.com. You can catch up on our live broadcast and what's coming up. There's going to be a new part to it where we're going to actually attach Crossroads Productions to it too. And you'll be able to look at some of the new films coming out and hopefully some of the new gear. This is not the only thing I'm building. There's some other little secrets in the bag that hopefully will come out by hopefully the beginning of next year, and we'll see where that goes too. But, yeah, you can hit us up on Facebook too. If you want to talk SBE, I'll talk with you. Hit me up on the message, and we'll talk for hours. We can do it that way, too. I love sharing the knowledge.
All right. Well, again, I appreciate you taking time, buddy, and we'll see you real soon.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. We're going to have a good time.
All right, man. Well, have a good rest of the evening, and we'll talk to you here in a little while.
Have a good one, Joe.
Okay, great. You too. Thank you for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you, buddy. Bye-bye. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that will be our show for the evening. Again, special thanks to our guest for the evening, Mr. Joe Pieri. And we'll be back for a future episode here in about 2 more weeks. And until then...
Hey, keep it easy, everyone. Have a good one.
Thank you for joining us for Live Paranormal Radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.